We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky coming to you from my office in the attic of New Athens, Illinois, my home there.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from my office at beautiful Essential Lutheran Church in picturesque South St. Louis, where we are celebrating the Easter season.
And I don't know if you could hear, because I could hear it, maybe it's on the recording, you could hear Pastor Matt flipping the pages of his Bible, because we want to remind you here at Wrestling with the Basics, we don't make stuff up. We get it right out of the scriptures. Right, Matt?
Yes. So, yeah, 90% of the time.
90
now, our introductions, 80, I can't 80, say.
82%, 80%. I know right now people are saying, hey, the Lent's over. When are we going to have the 100 seconds of dumb jokes? So just keep listening. We're working on them right now, you know, because we don't want to give you just any junk. We want to give you a really good dumb jokes.
So high that's quality dumb up. Jokes.
High quality dumb jokes. In lieu of that, though, I do have a thing that I found puzzling. It is getting to be summertime. Have you got your SPF 80 or whatever, 90 sunscreen. Have you bought that yet, Matt?
I'm applying it liberally to my head, John.
I was going to say, if you could see Matt on the video as I can, he has no hair on his head. Does you ever get burned up there? Does it get sore?
Oh, yeah. I need to watch out. Yes, I need to take precautions. Head, ears, hat, sunscreen, you bet.
So run down to Target, because right now at Target, if you buy two sunscreen products, you get 20% off both of them. And so my wife was saying, well, because I'm thinking, well, that's great. What do you need two bottles of sunscreen for? And she said, well, I can put one in the bathroom and one in my bedroom. And I think, well, what do you, if you're going to, why don't you put it in the car? At least have it in the car, then you have it if you need it. And she says to me, she says, you know, you're not supposed to expose that to heat. Wait, it's sunscreen. Is that the whole point, that it's exposed to heat? So I don't know. But I'm just a dumb dad, a dumb husband.
Good but observation, anyway, John.
That's what she said. It should not be exposed to heat, so we can't keep it in the car. All right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, don't wear it to the beach. You definitely don't wear sunscreen to the beach.
No, because if the sun shines on it, that's not good for the sunscreen. Okay, well, I'm sure what she says is the truth. It probably will blow up in the car or something like that, and we'll have sunscreen all over the interior of our car. But at the moment, it just seems strange for her to say you're not supposed to expose it to heat.
You got a point, John.
All right. Well, people
are going to listen to Lynn anyway.
I always listen to her because she knows what she's talking. There's never been an instance that she doesn't say something that it's absolutely true. And if I would question it, I'm sure I would read on the fine print of the bottle. It says, please do not expose to heat. But there you go. So we need to, I don't know, Matt. I'm wore out from all the Easter stuff and from the doctor stuff and everything. So please excuse me if I'm a little bit slap happy. Okay.
I don't think we'll know the difference, John.
That's true. How would
There's
you
usually
tell?
Pretty,
How
pretty
would you tell?
Happy on the
That's right. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 is what I want to look at this week, if we could, Matt.
Very good.
We actually did this on Thy Strong Word, but there was so much stuff that we couldn't get it in. And so I thought, well, we'll pick it up again here on Wrestling with the Basics. Yeah. This is, of course, a classic passage. The whole business about the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Great stuff. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Probably a lot of our listeners know these verses by heart. And so I actually thought, oh, well, not much for me to learn here. I've done this before. But I've found like all kinds of stuff I didn't know. So I thought it'd be fun to share it with you and share it with our listeners.
Great chapter, right? John. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So I'm not sure. Let me start with this. Matt, do you do a lot of illustrations when you preach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of work in an illustration or two. And I think if Jesus uses illustrations, it's probably okay for us pastors to use illustrations too, I would guess.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because, you know, there's some people that say, oh, no, we just want you to read right from the Bible, talk just about what the Bible says. But Jesus used illustration all the time. So what are you going to go back and say to Jesus? Hey, we don't want to hear those stories. No, just give us what the Bible says. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, and the sowing seed stuff, I'm calling Jesus. It just gets the
come
point.
On. Yeah, just get to the point. That's exactly right. Get to the point. Reed Lessing, you know Reed, I know Reed.
Oh yeah,
I was a seminary professor, now back into the pastoral ministry, has written all kinds of books, great Old Testament books. Go to Concordia Publishing House. We don't get paid for this, by the way, people, but he loves illustrations. You know, when you read his stuff, and he knows the Bible backwards and forwards and has all of these connections, but he'll also have some off the wall story that he'll share. What I did not realize is the Apostle Paul does that too. So we read these words from Romans 12. Well, here, let's read a few of the verses here. Read just verses 1 through 3, if you could, Matt. 12 verses 1 through 3.
Okay, so where are we?
Hebrews 12. Okay. Hebrews 12. I'm sorry. Did I not mention that at some point?
No, I thought you said Romans first. Maybe I misheard. Okay. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. All right, here we go.
Please bear with us, people. It's been a long Easter for us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, here we go. We'll blame it on the 40 days of Lent and Easter. Okay.
Yeah,
therefore, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Looking at Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
So the thing that struck me is the word endurance is used in each of these verses. Three times that word comes up. And the other thing that's interesting is that that is a word that is associated with a Greek athletic event that was called, I'm looking it up here, it was called the Pancratium or the Pancratium. I'm not sure, I'm not Greek. But there was this athletic event that involved wrestling and boxing. I'm not sure exactly how it works out. But so when he uses the word endure, that's what people are thinking of. And indeed, the whole crowd of witnesses, it brings to mind a stadium filled with people, witnesses watching on to what's going on there, these people that are boxing and wrestling with each other. And in fact, the idea was that you'd get like, I don't know, 20, 30, you get these big burly guys in there and they're just fighting it out. And of course, the one who endures, the one who can defeat all the others, the last man standing, as they say, that's going to be the winner of the battle. This business about, where is that, about laying aside? Yeah, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. See, again, the language there is these athletes would come in just like they do in the professional wrestling, because they come there all dressed up, you know. They've got their robes on, and they probably got their big fancy hats with feathers or whatever. But, of course, you don't, you know, fight people that way. In fact, the Greeks fought naked. That's what they did. So they would take all this stuff off, and then they'd go to battle. And, again, it's the guy that endures. So it just tickled me. It would be like you and me doing a story about the Super Bowl and applying it some way. And that's what Paul is doing here. And I never noticed that before until I saw this little word endure, which again is the word that would be used for this endurance event, this pancratium that they did in Greek. So there, that's my first interesting thing to share with you, that Paul is actually using an illustration from the athletic events of his day and time.
Oh yeah, I love that. You know, that's, you know, assuming Paul wrote Hebrews, you know,
I made an assumption there.
Yeah, but
whoever it was is doing this.
And maybe he did. But, whoever it was, you know, this is God's word. And, you know, and I would say certainly, you know, Paul's other writings attest to that too. You know, he's using athletic events and all sorts of things to, you know, boxing and different things to illustrate and make points. I think that's great. And I think too, relating then the things that encumber, right? The weight and the things that encumber, he relates that to sin, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How can we endure in this life if we're encumbered by this sin? So take it off. Take it off and look to Jesus.
So here's the thing that's neat about that, Matt. I'm glad you brought that up. If you look at the grammar and the verbs that are there, verbs, by the way, for those of people who don't like grammar, I never really did. It's the action words. It's the things that are done. And we read this and it would sound like these are imperatives, right? And you know what's an imperative, Matt?
It's a command to do something.
Yeah. So we'd hear this, let us also lay aside. See, that sounds in the English like that's an imperative, like that's a command. And the sin which clings us so closely, again, that sounds like imperative, sounds like a command. Actually, it isn't. The action word in here is looking to Jesus. That's the thing that we're actually called to do. So if you want to, so here's the language there. If you want to lay aside every weight, if you want to lay aside every sin which clings so closely, just like those ancient garments would have clinged to these guys. That's why you strip them off, because you want to fight naked. If you want to do that, if you want to run with endurance the race, then you look to Jesus. See, that's what it's saying there. The English kind of obscures it. But the point is, you want to accomplish these things, you don't do that on your own. You can't do that on your own. You're not a Greek guy wrestling in the Pancratium. But you can do it if you look to Jesus, who is the what, Matt? Who is the what?
Who is the founder or author and perfecter of our faith.
Oh, so thank you for using the other. See, because that's the thing, too. There's some of these words that get obscured by the English that is chosen. So in other words, he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega of our faith, right? So seriously, people, if you really, really want to have the endurance, you're not going to be able to do it by anything you do. You're not going to throw this sin off. That isn't possible. You're not going to be able to run unless, of course, you have Jesus. You're looking at him. Then maybe you will be able to accomplish these things.
And I think that's the key to these verses, John. I think it's so important. You know, the writer of Hebrews, you know, to get rid of the sin, to endure, it doesn't say, well, follow these five steps, these five training steps, right? Do these five or six things, and then you'll be free from sin. No, all it is looking at Jesus. That's all it is looking at Jesus. He's the one that takes care of it. He's the one that forgives.
And so then let's go back to the word endure, because there's a really neat thing about the word endure. Because again, if you're a Greek, for you, the endurance is all about what you're doing, right? That's the point of this great athletic event. You're the one that's strong enough. You're the one that survived all the others. You're the last man standing as it is. However, in the Bible, the word endure has a totally different sense. It's not about being strong and bearing all things. The way the word hypomene, that's the word hypomene, the way that is used in the Old Testament is to wait for something. Now, I'm not denying that it might require a certain amount of bravery and courage to wait for something, but the emphasis isn't so much on how strong you're enduring. The emphasis is upon your waiting, and what you're waiting for is, guess what? And again, it's the Lord. I wish I had the opportunity to send this earlier, but I'll just read it here. Psalm 39:7, and now, O Lord, for who do I wait? And remember, it's the same word. It's the same word for endure. So in other words, and now, Lord, for what do I endure? My hope is in you, see? So I just want to emphasize this. When you read this, the focus is clear. Well, let me share one from Romans, since apparently that's what we thought we were going to do. Romans 15:5, may the God of encouragement, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord to Jesus Christ. Psalm 62, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in him. So just so people understand, whatever it is we're talking about here, it's not a matter of you being really strong and tough and enduring. No, it is a matter of us waiting for the Lord, because he's the one, as it says, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So any thoughts you have about that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, any enduring we do is because of the one who already endured for us, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who endured the cross, was patiently bore the cross. Oh, my goodness. You know, and you think of that patience and waiting, you know, I kind of like that idea because Jesus' whole ministry, he knows he's going to the cross, you know? So, oh, yeah. I mean, it's always looming before him. So, I mean, he's kind of, in that respect, he's being patient. He's waiting. And again, he goes, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. So he's waiting until he finally does, endure the cross. But he waits in that, you know, if we're going to talk about that waiting that takes place.
Now you've just made me really happy. Thank you. And I do think one of the things, because we do try to keep our focus on the Word of God, I think the Holy Spirit is working through us, not because of our wisdom, our ability, but because you can't go wrong. When you're looking to Jesus, which is exactly what the Word of God is all about, because now you made me think and made me feel a little comfort, because I'm doing some waiting right now, Matt.
Yeah.
In fact, we already know the course of action. We know how they're going to treat the prostate cancer. Everyone says, "Oh, this will be fine. Everything will go good," and yet we just keep waiting because we got to go to have another test. We got to see another doctor. This has got to be done first, and then But thank you for reminding me. Yeah, okay, so that's kind of the program, isn't it? Jesus did that. We do that. I guess it's kind of good to remember. Okay, John, don't get frustrated. Be like Jesus. Sometimes you just... Because you're right. I never thought about that. Why wouldn't Jesus say, come on, let's just go to the cross and get it over with? I'm not looking forward to this. Let's get it done.
Yep.
But instead, he just, no, I've got other things to do first. That'll come. So it's a great thing for me to think about. All right, so maybe I do need to just, and by the way, it's what my wife tells me all the time, so apparently it's got to be true. You know, if the Bible says it and your wife says it, then it's got to be true.
It's the gospel truth then, John. Be patient, look to Jesus. Yes.
Yeah.
Endure.
Yeah, both of them. Thank you. That's right, not just be patient, but Look to Jesus. That's how that'll come. So let me share with you another new thing that I did. So I didn't know any of this before. This is all brand new to me. I'm glad to be able to share it with our listeners. Go back to the verse, though, before chapter 12, the end of verse 11. Because, by the way, chapter 12 begins with the word therefore. So apparently there is something that happened earlier that we need to know about. So could you read verses 39 and 40 of verse 11?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is following all these different people who, by faith, did these different things throughout the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Then verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
So you pointed out earlier that the word founder, actually the root of that word is the author, which in some ways I like better than founder, but they both work. We have the same thing here, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Actually, the normal sense of that word perfect is usually the word complete. So it's probably more accurate that apart from us, they should not be made complete. And see, that's what it dawned on me. So you got these guys, and you talked about it, Matt, how they've suffered and they've wrestled and they've been patient. Thank you for reminding me that I need to be that way. But the reason they are doing that is because they realize their number isn't complete yet. There's more believers that'll be coming along. And so God could easily put an end to their suffering, right? Isn't that what the souls under the altar in Revelation? That's what they cry out to. How long? When are you going to put an end to this?
Yes.
And it's interesting. He says the same thing to them. He says, well, just go back to sleep. Take a little rest until your number is complete. Mm-hmm. I haven't even brought all the people in existence yet that I love and that I forgive and want to take to paradise with me. So I thought, well, that's a good thing for us to remember too, because I'm wondering, why do we have to suffer here? Why doesn't, you were talking about it, I think in last week's episode, about how better things to come, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Better things are to come. Yeah.
Don't just be nostalgic, but God's at work now and certainly in the future. You ain't seen nothing yet. Better things to come.
Yeah. Yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. So I'm thinking, well, let's do it then. Okay. I'm not all that happy with what's going on. Let's do it. And then I read, oh, okay, that's why. Because his number isn't complete. You and I are going to get old and we're going to die because there are people after us that he loves and is going to forgive and is going to save. So, okay, then I guess we just wait because he's got more stuff to do. Yeah. You know, there's more things to do.
And if Jesus returns before we die, well, then we just say, well, I guess the number is complete. So, you know, I don't have to worry about that. That's in God's hands. He knows when that time is complete.
Yeah, and I do like that thought. Then when that happens, you'll know, okay, everything has been accomplished. The complete number is there. So let's move on, because here's the passage I think that we're all familiar with. If you could read verses 3 through, you might as well read all the way 3 through, where does the whole discipline stop there, Matt? Verse 11, 3 through 11.
Okay.
That's a big chunk, but yeah.
Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which we have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For at the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
So, Matt, you're familiar with that. What kind of things does that bring to your mind when you read those words?
Yeah, I think it brings to mind, you know, again, like, you know, the writer of Hebrews, another illustration, right, John?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About being a parent. And, you know, why does a parent discipline their child? And ultimately, it's out of love, right? That's why this discipline takes place. And yeah, no, it's not pleasant at the time for the one being disciplined, but yet in the end, boy, great benefits to it.
So the thing that struck me that I don't know that I'd really thought about before. So part of the comfort that's here is that whatever you're going through, Jesus went through too. And I know I've said that before, but I'd never really thought about this passage. That's part of the emphasis here. As it said earlier, look to Jesus, who also endured hostility against himself. So I do think that's one of the reasons we can keep from being weary and faint-hearted, to know that we don't have a God who's sitting up in heaven and says, well, man, it's so bad to be you. I feel so sorry for you. It's got to be rough to be you. Yeah. But no, we have a God who understands completely what we're going through. He went through it as well. The other thing I think in the past I used to want to water down the concept discipline and say, well, that's different than punishment. You know, discipline is you're just trying to get people. I don't know what the difference is, but but then I read here where it says he disciplines the one he loves and he chastises every son whom he receives. You know what the word chastise mean? Do you know what that word means, Matt? Again, this is something. Now, this I did know before.
Something more than discipline, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It means to whip somebody. That's what it means, to flog them. It's the same word that's used for what they did to Jesus after they arrested him and the blood was flowing down. So I guess we don't want to soften the word discipline, because it does mean, well, it says that, doesn't it? For the moment, all discipline seems painful. So obviously, whatever it is, it's not supposed to be nice. Yeah. And then I remembered Paul talking about his thorn in the flesh. Let me see if I can find that somewhere here, Matt. So to keep me from becoming conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Three times I pleaded that it should leave me, but my grace is sufficient for you, God said. My power is made perfect in weakness. And I think we forget that we don't need to like discipline. There is this kind of Christian thought that, oh, you know, look at me. I've have all these troubles and trials, but I'm brave. I'm courageous. Look at me, you know. No. You have no idea. It does hurt. It does bother us. It does trouble us. But then again, we're sinners. So maybe we too need to have something to keep us from being conceited. Maybe we too need something to remind us that we're essentially people who born in iniquity, conceived in sin, David says. That's you and me. No man, all men have fallen short of the glory of God. And remind us again, yeah, that's why you need to look for Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
Because as you pointed out last week, right, a new thing is being done. And that's this God of love and this God of forgiveness. So anyway, I thought, well, I never thought about it that way either, that discipline does hurt. And if it hurts, it's okay. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. In fact, as sinful people, discipline is probably what we need, even though we don't necessarily like it. So I don't know, any thoughts about that, Matt? And then I just one more thing.
During those difficult times, the times where we are disciplined, to remind ourselves that, he loves us. And again, it's not our own strength that gets us through that, like you pointed out, John, but it's focusing on God's love. And I think of Romans 8, that, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not hardship, not height nor depth, not even death can separate us from Jesus' love. And to focus on that, fix our eyes on that, even as perhaps we endure discipline.
So the last thing that was new to me is if you'd read verse 11 again, because there was something here that I'd never seen before either.
Good. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
And the word trained, that actually means to exercise naked. Okay. I mean, that's what the word meant. It means to exercise naked.
Why the ESV translated it as trained.
Trained. Yeah. But wouldn't it be better if it said that who have been exercised naked, been made naked by it? Because now we've gone back to full circle to where we started at the beginning of the chapter. We need to lay aside all those things that cling to us, the weight that carries us. Yeah, we just need to be naked. That's what we need to be. And that's what discipline does. It reminds you, doesn't it? It strips off all of your pride, all the things that you thought were worthwhile, and you realize, okay, I am just a damned sinner. That's what I am. I don't want to remember that, but thank you for reminding me, Lord, because then it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, right? And that's the peaceful fruit, because then you realize, wow, Jesus, he loves me. He really does love me. He didn't die for me when I was this good church-going guy that I am now. He died for me when I was a sinner, and I still am. So again, I thought that was kind of a cool thing. Because what was that hymn? Naked to the cross I fly. Gosh,
Wash me. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, here it is. Nothing in my hand I bring. Oh. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. How could I not remember the words of Rock of Ages?
A little more familiar.
Yeah. So it's always best to just use the hymn book instead of trying to make it up.
But I do. I mean, the discipline just lays us bare before God, right? Nothing to hide. We don't have anything to bring in and of ourselves, right? But then the righteousness from Christ.
And nothing to do then but look at Christ. And you look at him, it's all going to be fine. Even though maybe it's hard for us to be patient, even though there is some discipline that we're struggling with, the fact of the matter is, as the text says, the Lord loves those he disciplines. God bless to everyone. This is Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.